Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the captain of the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and want to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. The Sanhedrin ordered the apostles to stop speaking in the name of Jesus and dismissed them. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, looked and heard the voices of many angels who surrounded the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They were countless in numbers, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, everything in the universe, cry out. To the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. The four living creatures answered, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shown pity on all people. Alleluia.
From the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory be to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" and said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's lesson from Sacred Scripture is about the beginnings of our church. It's about being called, about being commissioned, and it's also about being sent. It's about being a credible witness to the good news. And so, in a word, it's about becoming disciples. But I think just as important, our scriptures teach about the cost of that discipleship. This was illustrated, I think, so vividly in our first reading. The apostles in our first reading were brought in front of that powerful group, the Sanhedrin, and they witnessed their faith courageously. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that it really takes courage to stand up for one's beliefs in that type of stressful situation. Chapter 21 of John's Gospel, the passage which we hear today, is the ending of the gospel according to John. And this passage, I think, coupled with our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, kind of helps us to piece together, like a puzzle, the formation and development of the early church. So I think we all know eventually the apostles were filled with charisma, they were filled with the Spirit, and they were given strength and courage to proclaim the good news to many tongues and many peoples of foreign lands. But as I mentioned before, today among the many lessons of sacred scripture that we have is the theme of being called, the theme of becoming a disciple, the theme of being sent, and of having the strength and having the courage to carry out the commission that you'd been given. So let's look at these readings, the first reading of the gospel. The first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, I think, shows the courage, it shows the strength, it shows the charisma, if you will, of the apostles. The apostles find themselves being brought in front of the Sanhedrin. You know who the Sanhedrin was? They were the Jewish lawgivers. Basically, the Sanhedrin were the power in Israel. And it was these guys, if we remember, that had our Lord put to death. And so, knowing that this group had orchestrated what they orchestrated against our Lord, listen to how Peter and the rest of the apostles answer their powerful accusers. So let me just reread a small portion of their response after this Sanhedrin had chastised them for teaching in Jesus' name.
Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. All I can say about that answer is, wow, what courage, what powerful witness, what strength. My dear friends, we just cannot imagine what type of strength this required. And you know, they couldn't do this on their own. They were filled with the strength and the courage of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. My friends, this type of strength is required to build God's holy church on earth. It's the type of strength that is still required by all of us who call ourselves disciples and evangelizers. The type of strength that allows us not to be swayed by what the world thinks or by what pop culture says to us is normal. In this day and age, this also takes the strength and courage not to take the easy way out or to be politically correct. Want an example? A baby is a baby from the moment of conception and not something that is debated for political power. So in today's gospel, what happens there? In today's gospel, we hear Jesus sharing a meal with his disciples, breaking bread and giving thanks, Eucharista. But Jesus shares this meal with them not to just feed them physically or to join them in some type of social gathering. This meal is much deeper. Jesus is giving them the spiritual nourishment that will be necessary to continue to build the body. And so this is more than a meal, it's a commissioning. It's a sending forth to cast their nets similar to what they did in their fishing boat, but cast them in the right direction, the way they did as their nets became overflowing with their huge catch. Jesus is giving them a very concrete example with something they all understood, that being their fishing livelihood. And they were now to cast their nets to change and catch the hearts and minds of all humankind, to truly spread their nets far and wide, to be fishers of men and women, spreading the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and well and will live for eternity with the Father and Holy Spirit. Jesus commissions the disciples, but I think in a very specific way, he commissions Peter, who will become the first pope and recognized leader of the flock. In a sense, some biblical scholars see the dialogue that takes place between St. Peter as a reversal of Peter's three denials he made of Jesus. Simon Peter is forgiven by Jesus, and then he's sent on his mission with those three declarations: feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus gives Peter and the rest of the disciples their marching orders, even indicating that they would sacrifice for the flock by following in his footsteps. So just as our Lord fed Peter and the brethren, so he feeds us also in our Eucharistic celebration. And like Peter and his brothers, we too are sent to follow him. We too are sent to offer our lives in service, and yes, in many ways in sacrifice, to tend the flock and feed the lambs. And so right about now, you're probably asking yourself, well, what does this mean to me? I think we must all ask ourselves, could I have done what Peter and his brethren did when they were brought in front of the Sanhedrin? Another question is, am I given the opportunity to witness my faith like Peter and the brethren during the normal course of events of my daily life? We can answer yes to both of these, because yes, these opportunities will always present themselves, and yes, I can witness to my faith. So what is our challenge? Our challenge is to embrace these opportunities and become a true disciple of Christ, witnessing our faith with honest and true conviction, not in a threatening way, but in a way that evangelizes, in a way that gives hope to all who hear the good news of our risen Lord by our words, by what we say, and by our actions, by what we do. So I'm going to ask you to think about this coming week, and I want you to give it a try, because these opportunities will arise. We may not always succeed, but we will never know until we make the effort. As the saying goes, you can't win the lottery unless you first buy a ticket. May you always be blessed with courage. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sins, under Pontius Pilate, and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us offer our prayers for the needs of the world to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
For the safety of Christians everywhere, especially those doing mission work and witnessing to God's work in the world, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in the world, with justice and safety for refugees and immigrants, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are newly baptized and all who are celebrating their first communion during the Easter season, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us who have denied the Lord in our words and actions, that we may hear the Lord calling us to love him and know the Lord's forgiveness during this Jubilee year of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Carlos F. Truon, the deceased members of the Mew family, Dorothy and Barney O'Lavin, Ben Meir and Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin and Robert E. Hagelin Jr. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our personal needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, to you be all blessing, glory, and honor. Graciously grant these our prayers, which we offer to you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Receive, O Lord, we pray, these offerings of your exultant church. And as you have given her cause for such great gladness, grant also that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord. But in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He never ceases to offer himself for us, but defends us and ever pleads our cause before you. He is the sacrificial victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. Giving you thanks, he said the blessing, gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.